Good morning, everyone. One quick announcement before we get into our text, and our text is going to be from Mark chapter 1 or Luke chapter 5, whichever one of those two places you want to go. But the announcement has to do with the next church family event. On Saturday, the 25th of this month, we'll have another movie night, 6 o'clock. We're going to show the movie Courageous. Courageous. So we'll be doing that on the 25th. So bring snacks, bring yourselves on that Saturday. All right. We're going to be looking at an incident that's recorded for us in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. The same incident is recorded for us in Matthew 8, 1 through 4, also in Luke 5, 12 through 16. So if you, and we're going to draw from all of those to kind of piece together everything that happens. When we are looking at this, there you might have noticed in the bulletin that the title is kind of a weird title. The title is Jesus Trades Places with a Leper. I borrowed the title and really borrowed the concept for this particular sermon from John MacArthur and some of the writings that he has because it really opened my eyes, and I thought, you know, I need to share that with my congregation. So this is not original in terms of, you know, the title and everything else, but it captures really what we have here in what occurs. As we look at the text, let's read together from Mark what it is that happens in Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to those to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. I like this particular event. I like what happens and how it happens, but there's a lot here that in our culture we simply probably do not really grasp because we do not live in a culture that has very many lepers. I think I have seen two people in my lifetime who I suspected had leprosy, but they... because of the disfigurement of their faces and their bodies. But they were people that I saw at a distance, and I never spoke to them, never had the opportunity to speak to them face to face, so I'm not really certain that they really did have leprosy. But we just do not live in a culture where leprosy is that common. The last leper colony that was in the United States was in Hawaii. There's still a leper colony technically there, but it's mostly a museum. Because in 1982, they came up with a way of treating leprosy so that it can actually stop the disease and prevent it from causing any further damage and prevent it from being communicable. People do not get leprosy today like they got leprosy back then. Leprosy is a horrible, horrible disease. Leprosy is something that God Himself used to signify or to symbolize the awfulness of sin itself in many places in the Old Testament. Leprosy was something that caused the person who had it to really, in many ways, lose everything in their life. Absolutely everything. Because leprosy, up until just recently, was something that was very contagious. It's caused by a bacteria. A bacteria that, by the way, is extremely old. In fact, they have found in 3,000-year-old mummies out of Egypt, they have found mummified bacteria that causes leprosy. And so we know that leprosy has been around for a long time, and in fact we know that it was something that was prevalent in Egypt. But here we have this particular disease striking a man, and Jesus heals him. Now this is not the only time that Jesus is recorded that Jesus healed a leper. We see later on in the gospel accounts in Luke chapter 17, for instance, that Jesus healed 10 lepers at once. This was the occasion when 9 of them went away and one returned and said thank you to Jesus. And that one who returned was a Samaritan. We read an interesting account in Mark chapter 14, where Jesus is celebrating with a group of his friends in the home of Simon the leper. The fact that he's called Simon the leper is because he must have, you know, he was one who had leprosy, and he must have been cured, because if he hadn't been cured, he would not have had a home, and he would not have hosted a gathering of people, because that was something that simply was not done. Primarily because of the horrendous, contagious nature of this disease. So we don't have a whole lot of occasions that are recorded for us about Jesus dealing with lepers, but we read a lot in the Gospels about how Jesus healed everyone who came to him, and certainly those who had leprosy would have been among those who would have sought Jesus out. And that's exactly the case that we're looking at right here. But let me tell you what leprosy does. Leprosy begins usually if it's now. There's a lot of things that in the ancient world could have been called leprosy, because leprosy starts with something that looks like a white scaly patch on your skin. Now we know that there's a lot of things that cause white scaly patches, from things that cause dandruff to psoriasis and eczema and a bunch of other things like that. But there was in the scriptures, there were specifically in Leviticus chapter 13, there were 59 verses given where someone was given a test by a priest, and this test would determine whether or not you really had what they classified as leprosy. And that which was classified as leprosy is what today is called Hansen's disease. If you want to look it up on the web somewhere, Hansen's disease, H-A-N-S-E-N, is what you want to look for. But it starts off usually as a shiny patch. Most of the time it will start on the face, or it will start on the hands. If it starts on the face, it's usually the forehead or the nose, or sometimes the chin. Generally what happens is that the skin begins to become thick. Sometimes tumors will start developing, in which they will start to look like boils all over the face. But what happens is that as time develops, the nerves die. And when the nerves die, you cannot feel anything. And as the nerves die, also the immune system begins to be compromised, and lots of things internally begin to happen as well. And the things internally, along with this compromised immune system, lead you to be someone who can get sick just like that when you come in contact with some sort of illness, some sort of germ. But lots of times, those who have leprosy, because their skin erupts into these boil-like things, and because you start not having feeling, you have a lot of disfigurement that begins to take place. One of the things that quite often in the ancient world, in the descriptions that have come to us, is that you have people who have who lose their start losing their hair, including their eyebrows and their eyelashes. Because they can't tell if they've got a sunburn or if they're in water too hot or anything else, they start having burns and cuts and things that they can't feel that become infected. They end up losing fingers and toes and ears and noses and lips. They end up completely disfigured. And eventually they die. It also affects the vocal cords, causing them to thicken, which means your voice drops and becomes very gravelly. And ultimately, sometimes they simply get to the point where basically all they can do is make a grunting sound because they can't articulate anything else. Because the tongue also will often get clumsy, what they call a clumsy tongue, but because it swells and gets that type of gets, you know, involved in this process. Because it's so contagious, the Jews had been given laws by God that when someone came down with leprosy, they were declared unclean. Now, the reason they were declared unclean, which is one of the reasons why the text refers to them as unclean, is that this was God's way of quarantining these people away from the general population because it was contagious. You caught it by inhaling particulates that someone would give off when they sneezed or when they coughed, or by coming in contact with their blood and entering into a cut or scrape of your own. And so it was very communicable, very, very contagious. And so the Jews had been given laws by God, and they had added a few of their own. And so in the time of Jesus, literally what happened, if you were determined by the priest to have leprosy, immediately you were cut off. You left your home, you left your family, you left your job, and you had to live in a separate environment from everybody else. Typically, if you were around the Jerusalem area, you lived in the Valley of Gehenna. Now, the Valley of Gehenna, you've probably heard something about. The Valley of Gehenna, it was essentially the place where Jerusalem took their trash and burned it. And there was lots of caves and things in this valley wall, and you were living there, and you lived off of literally the refuse that was thrown away or the gifts that people might leave you at the entrance to that valley, because people wouldn't go down there. They were afraid of catching this disease. And if you were to travel away from the places of quarantine that they had established throughout Israel, you had to do it in such a way that you made sure that people knew that you were a leper. You were required to take your clothes and tear them in a certain way so that people looking at you could tell that, hey, there's something wrong. You were required to cover your head. You were required to shout out as you're approaching people, unclean, unclean, so that people would know that you were coming close. You were not allowed to get any closer than 15 feet. And you could, 15 feet, if you were downwind of them, you could not, if you were upwind of them, you could not get any closer than, no, wait a minute, I got it backwards. You could get as close as 6 feet if you were downwind of them, you could get as close as 15 feet if you were upwind of them. Because upwind means they're blowing towards you. Yeah, got it backwards. Anyway, you couldn't get close to anybody. You couldn't. You weren't allowed in any city. You weren't allowed to touch anybody. You weren't allowed to worship God. You couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't offer any sacrifices. You couldn't go into any synagogue. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't work because they would consider anything that you made unclean because it contained the possibility that you could pass on the bacteria that would cause the disease. Now keep all of that in mind, because what we have here is a case where there is a man who has heard about Jesus, He seeks Jesus out, but he's living off by himself. He's living off away from everybody else because he has leprosy. Luke, turn with me to Luke. Look at what Luke says in Luke chapter 5 in verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city. It doesn't tell us what city, but it tells us he was in a city. That behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now let's stop there and analyze it in light of what we have learned about this leprosy, this disease, this dreaded disease, and the requirements in the Jewish culture. Number one, we find out that Luke describes this man as being full of leprosy, which probably means that he has all the markings on his face and his body. He has he's been disfigured. There, you can look at him and you can see that has taken hold of his life. You also find out right away that this man, because he'd heard about Jesus, is in violation of about every single rule that is in place in their society. Because he comes into the city where he's not allowed, and he comes face to face with Jesus and speaks directly to him. And he's close enough to Jesus that he violates the very rules that are in place. Remember, you could only be 6 feet if you were, whichever way, 6 feet or 15 feet. Upwind, downwind. It's like north and south for me. I can't never get it right. But you can only 6 feet is the closest you could ever get. And yet, what do we see happening when he comes to Jesus? Going back over to Mark, Mark says that the man came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying to him imploringly, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And the picture is that Jesus is standing here and the man kneels right in front of him. And in fact, that's a very logical picture for us, because the very next thing that we read is that Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out and touched him. Now, it's conceivable that he could have knelt 6 feet away or 15 feet away and Jesus walked toward him and touched him, but it just simply says that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. So the impression is that the man came right up to Jesus and he's begging for Jesus to heal him. Now, one of the things that we need to remember about all of the accounts that we read with regard to the miracles of Jesus is that we need to remember a couple of things. Number one, we don't have every miracle that Jesus did recorded for us. John tells us in his gospel account that if everything was written that Jesus did, the books of the whole earth could not contain the number of books that would record everything that Jesus did. Number two, you need to remember that all the miracles that are there that are recorded for us are recorded for us to help us understand what Jesus is doing. That is particularly the case here with this event. Skip on down with me. We'll come back to the actual healing in just a moment. But skip on down with me to what he tells this man after he gives him after he heals him. And notice what he says specifically in verse 44. Or 44. Jesus says to the man, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. In other words, now we find out, you know, in the very next verse that the man didn't obey what Jesus told him to do. But we find out why Jesus healed the man in this verse. This man was healed, and Jesus was going to tell him that was going to use him to convince the priest in Jerusalem. I want you to go present yourself to these priests in Jerusalem as a testimony to them, so that they can begin to believe that I am who I say I am. That's the reason he heals this man, so that there can be proof offered to these priests. Later on, we will find out that when the knowledge of all the healings that Jesus is doing and all the casting out of demons that Jesus is doing, that the priesthood and the Sanhedrin and all in Jerusalem decide that, the teaching of Jesus doesn't jive with what we want the people to have. And so we've got to somehow discredit what Jesus is doing. And they're going to later on label Jesus in such a way as a sinner by telling everybody he heals and he casts out demons through the power of Satan. The only thing is, leprosy specifically is something that in the Old Testament is used by God as a means of divine punishment. And it is always, leprosy has always been seen by the Jewish people as something that comes and goes only by the power of God. You remember, Moses has led the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and they get to the other side, and later on there's this argument because among the family members of Moses, because Moses has married someone that they don't think is proper for Moses to have married. Now, there's some question as to what the properness was. And most likely it was because she was perhaps of a different skin color or a different ethnic background. We don't know exactly. There's a lot of different arguments. But you remember Miriam, Moses' sister, she's very upset. And she really starts letting Moses have it. And God intervenes and God says, Miriam, you need to understand that this is not right. You've got leprosy for a week. And he gives her leprosy like that. And for a week she has to dwell outside the camp. Now, God rescinds the leprosy and heals her at the end of that week. But she was cast out because of her prejudice and her attitude toward Moses. And she was given leprosy as punishment. And then she was healed of it as a sign of grace. And it was seen as coming directly from God. Think of Naaman, who comes to the prophet Elisha. And he comes because a servant girl who was a Hebrew had told him that this prophet could help him. And again, you know, we find a healing of someone who has leprosy, but it was seen as only something that could come from a man of God, only if God did it. Of course, Naaman was told to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. And he says, what? The Jordan River is a dirty river. Why can't I go to one of the clean rivers? And shouldn't I have to do something spectacular? You know, he didn't think that just simple obedience would do it. But he finally was convinced to go dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. And on the 7th time when he came up, he was completely healed. It says his skin was like that of a newborn. So the Jewish people have always thought that leprosy itself was something that could only be healed by God. So Jesus is wanting this man to be healed and to go and present himself to the priest so that the priest will know that there is something going on that can only be explained as of God. But here comes, let's go back to the story. We know that he doesn't end up there. The report doesn't get made. But the story is still important for us to understand. This disease and all of its horrendousness, this disease, this horrible disease, has this man creeping and coming into town, violating all of the restrictions because he wants to be healed. Who doesn't if you were in this type of situation? And Luke tells us that he comes up and the first word out of his mouth is the word Lord. which is the way that the gospel writers use that term. It makes it clear to us that this man had an understanding of who Jesus was. Now, in some ways, that's not important at all, because Jesus often heals people who don't know who he is, who don't understand what he's all about, because it tells us that the motivation for Jesus' healing is always his compassion, always his care and concern for other people. But this man had some sort of knowledge that caused him to address Jesus in this manner, Lord. And he also recognizes that if Jesus is really from God, it really is God's choice whether or not he becomes healed. And he phrases it that way. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, at this point, if we take the Old Testament as an example, where leprosy is often pictured, as it was in the book of Isaiah, as a picture of sin and the horribleness of sin, we get a good picture here of what Jesus sees in you and me. We're like this leper. And we're coming before Jesus, and we're saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And what does Jesus do? It says, look at verse 41. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Let's stop right there. Several things. Number one, Jesus was moved with compassion. This man's plight triggered the compassion of Jesus. Our God is a God of compassion. God is a God of all compassion. He feels the pain of sin's effects on sinners. And here we find Jesus feeling the pain of this man's having to be rejected and quarantined from the rest of society. He feels his pain. And he determines to do something about it. And before he even heals him, he does do something about it. Remember, one of the things that happened when you had leprosy was that immediately you had to leave your family, you had to leave your home, you had to leave your job, you could not go in contact with anybody. The only other people you could come in contact with were people who were in like manner as you were, who also had leprosy. You were not allowed to touch or to allow anybody to touch you. You were totally cut off. What does Jesus do? Before he heals him, he stretches out his hand and touches him. Now, I can't prove this. I can't that Jesus did this on purpose. But it seems to me like that's what he did, because we know that Jesus heals on other occasions but with simply a word at a distance. Jesus does not have to touch this man in order to heal him. And it seems to me like it is absolutely something done in, not in preparation for the healing, but done in separation from the healing. It's a separate act. And I think what he's doing here is that Jesus is showing that he's willing to identify with this man and reach out and be a part of him. When you touch somebody, you and I are inviting that person we're touching to be a part of us, however temporarily that touch is. And Jesus is doing that with this man. In essence, that's what Jesus did by coming in the first place. Jesus came as a human being, according to the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and also in chapter 4, in order to become one of us so that he could help us. And that's exactly what he's doing here. And he says to this person, you know, I'm willing, be cleansed. Now, the phrase I'm willing is in response to the man saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, there's some doubt expressed there. I'm not sure that God would care enough about me to do this. I'm not sure that God would care enough that He would give this blessing to me. But Jesus wants it clear that He does care enough to do this. This is the heart of God who feels the pain of suffering in this world. That's what motivated Him. It wasn't some trigger here by the man's level of faith that caused him to be healed. Jesus healed everybody all the time, faith or no faith. Jesus stretched out His hand so that He could make that connection. And He's showing us that same type of connection is what He wants to make with us. And then the next verse. Mark uses his favorite word. In the Gospel of Mark, Mark's favorite word is the word immediately. And look at what it says. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, what is it talking about there when it says that? One of the things that we need to piece together, if you go to Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, you find out that Jesus had just come down out of the mountains into the city that's not named. But if he's come down out of the mountains into the city that's not named, and later on there's a lake there, you kind of get the impression that this man is probably somewhere in the Capernaum, Bethsaida area where Jesus is doing most of his ministry. Now, I bring all that up because Jesus tells this man, hey, you're healed now. I want you to go to the priest and offer the appropriate sacrifices, and because I want them to have you as a testimony of me. Which means that this man is healed and made very healthy so that he can travel a minimum of 70 miles to Jerusalem. I want to point that out because you see, what happens today when we cure the disease, Hansen's disease today, one thing we cannot do is we cannot reverse the effects that the disease has already had. In other words, if the damage has already occurred, we can stop the disease, we can prevent further damage, but we cannot reverse the damage. But Jesus, when He heals somebody, He not only stops the disease, but He reverses the damage. In other words, the man's face, I'm sure that if it was covered with all kinds of blemishes and things like that, suddenly is not covered. That if his eyebrows were gone, his eyebrows are back. If his internal organs had been compromised, his lungs, which were is one of the common things that happened, that suddenly everything is working exactly the way it ought to work. That his health is immediate. There's no rehab. His health is immediate. And in fact, the fact that he tells him to go to Jerusalem, where the temple is, and offer the sacrifices, shows that he expects the man to be healthy enough to make that journey with no problem. Immediately, new flesh is created. Everything, if his throat had been seared or scarred, everything that was wrong is suddenly right. Now, again, that's exactly a picture that Scripture gives us of what happens to us when we come to God for cleansing. Cleansing is not only a term that's used to talk about dealing with leprosy because they're unclean, but it's because leprosy was used to talk about how we look before God. We need cleansing. And the only one who can cleanse us is God, by forgiving us of our sins. Now, one last thing, and the lesson is yours. Remember, the title of this lesson was that Jesus was changing places with the man. Notice the last thing that happens. Look at verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. You see what happened? The leper was a man who was condemned to be outside of the city in deserted places. Jesus was able to be in the city with among people. But now that this healing has taken place, essentially what has happened is that the man who was a leper is now allowed to interact with people, but Jesus is no longer able to interact with people. He has to go into the deserted places. I don't know for sure that this is something that was meant to be an earth-shattering revelation to us, but I think that if nothing else, this is an adequate metaphor for us for what Jesus did on the cross, is it not? We are the spiritual lepers who live in alienation and isolation from God. We meet Jesus at the cross, and at the cross, Jesus takes our sin, and we, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 puts it, we become righteous in Him, as He became sin for us. And we see Jesus switching places with us. And Mark uses this kind of language to help us begin to see that this is always what Jesus has sought to do. This morning, maybe you have begun to understand that Jesus wants to cleanse all of us of our sin. If you're not yet a Christian, then your sin is like leprosy. And the only cure for this disease that you have is Jesus Himself. You need to implore Him, as the leper did, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And the fact is that Jesus is willing. He went to the cross, and He's willing to take our sin and away from us as we place ourselves in His death in baptism and are raised to walk in newness of life, cleansed like the leper of our sin. This morning, we want to encourage one another to recognize in this event the truth of who you and I are and what Jesus has done, while together we stand and sing.